end of session irregularity going on today. We have a full Ways and Means Committee meeting scheduled at 11 o'clock. And so we will be recessing this work session at 11 o'clock and reconvening after the at the time that the 1:30 floor session begins. We'll be excused from session and we'll go back up there if there's a call of the house. But the chair's intention is to move this bill today. And with that, Mr. Rocco, if you could give us LFO's recommendation.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I've provided to members a spreadsheet with the details of LFO's recommended changes and a memo. You can, on the cover sheet, which we'll get back to at the end of work session, I just wanted to point out there are some different things on the cover sheet that you probably haven't seen before, and that's because there are things in the budget that have to be put into other budget bills. For example, the capital construction, which is listed as a unit in the agency's budget, needs to be reported to the other special committee, the bonding, I don't know exactly what they're called, but that special super bonding committee, with the recommendation of whatever the committee decides on the capital construction portion. And then if there is a decision to recommend COP authority be provided for construction activity at the Salem compound, that also needs to be removed from, there needs to be a recommendation made to that committee to include that in House Bill 2276. So that's what the differences on this sheet refer to. So if we could start with the Protection from Fire program, and if you want to turn to the page 6 of the spreadsheet where that program starts, and item number 1 on page 1 of the cover of the memo. Again, we're making very similar reductions that have been made in all agency budgets, and you'll see these throughout the divisions of the department. We're making the PERS employer rate reductions, the adjustments for AG costs, the reduction in the hourly rate for telecommunications, for assessments for Secretary of State Audits Division and Human Resources Services Division of DAS. You'll see reductions of 3% for services and supplies in non-fixed accounts, and we'll see the 1% out-of-state travel, and these are will all be reflected in each one of these divisions. The first change that we're recommending from the governor's recommended budget is to take that PERS employer rate reduction, which is shown as $22,104 general fund and $53,317 other funds. In item B, we're recommending reducing package 030 by $27,028 general fund and $60,947 other funds, and these are for those assessment and rate reductions. In package 311, which is a package that would add 45 seasonal positions to the agency with a net of 16.8 FTE. We're recommending approval of that package with one reduction due to the PERS employer rate contribution change, which reduces the package by $1,852. Item D, we're recommending an increase in the other funds expenditure limitation for federal funds that the agency spends as other funds. So even though this is an other funds limitation increase, these are dollars they receive from the federal government, in the amount of $1,726,400. And this is a carry forward limitation increase. These funds were received in 1999-01 due to the additional monies provided by the federal government for fire severity activities. The agency's just not been able to spend the full amount and needs to carry forward this limitation into the next biennium. Item...
Mr. Rocco, if I might interrupt, members, if you have questions as we go along, please feel free to ask them. We have people from the department here to help us, and it's my intention, again, to ask if there are problems with each section as we go through and try to gain consensus on this section by section. Representative Nolan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Rocco, in that federal funds carry forward, are there personnel associated with those funds?
Madam Chair, Representative Nolan, I believe the major portion of these funds are for transfer to other fire districts and local government cities for readiness training. And I don't, they're not directly tied to any additional positions that the agency has, but we may want to ask for confirmation.
Okay, thanks.
Lucky guess.
Please proceed.
Madam Chair, then item E on the memo is the first of these reduction packages recommended for non-fixed services and supplies accounts by 3%, which has been the agency's, I mean the committee's standard, and this would result in a $170,446 general fund reduction and $372,220 other funds reduction. On page 2 of the memo and package 003 is an LFO adjustment package 003 reduces out-of-state travel by $406 other funds. Item G is there are a number of these packages in the budget that are we're calling co-chair adjustment packages due to the provision of additional general fund by the co-chairs for certain agency priorities. And the first of these is shown in the co-chair adjustment package 004, which adds a fire aviation staff specialist. This position was approved by the emergency board during the interim, but on a limited duration basis, and was removed from the budget, was not included in the governor's recommended budget. But with this additional general fund that's been provided, this is one of the agency's priorities. It would result in adding an NRS 4 position with $71,213 general fund and $155,514 other funds. And this position would act to coordinate fire aviation activities in response to fighting forest fires. Item H on the memo and on page 8 of the spreadsheet at the top, this is another co-chair adjustment package which increases fire protection towards MEL in districts. MEL stands for most efficient level. And then again, this package would add $221,931 general fund and $484,653 other funds. It would create 17 seasonal positions, including 6 laborer twos, 4 laborer ones, 7 student workers. And it would add months to other existing forest officer positions in the agency. The net effect would be an increase of 10.46 FTE.
Madam Chair. Representative Lowe.
I might be a little slow on the uptake, but the carry forward in item D on page 1, why can't some of that money be used for some of these things? It sounds like training to me and the local level.
Madam Chair, Representative Lowe, most of the federal money is earmarked for certain uses of passing through to local communities, and it can be used in some cases for readiness activities, but I think the department should really respond to your question.
Could we have the department come forward and address Representative Lowe's question, please?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm Jim Brown, the state forester. The money that Mr. Rocco is correct that on sub-item D, The federal government has developed, actually as a result of Congress, what they've called the National Fire Plan. And it really was a spin-out from the major fires that occurred in Montana last summer. And the money that is coming down to states is, the most of what we're getting is in two different pockets, but it's really aimed at pass-through money from us to rural fire departments in order to increase their capability, both in terms of training as well as equipment, and to do on-the-ground work in what are called rural forest interface areas. So places like right outside Bend, where you have homes that are kind of scattered in the trees or in the wildlands, there's some money being made available to go in and treat those areas to make them more fire safe, so that in turn, if you get a fire in there, there's the potential for less threat to both homes and to people. So the money in D is pretty much straight pass through from us to, and we don't really have, because of the nature of these programs, we don't have the opportunity of keeping it in house. In contrast, item H that I think you were asking about is trying to increase. We discussed during the public hearing process, the way we run this program is we try to identify what is the most efficient level, both in terms of the resources you have on the ground and the minimizing the damage that occurs as a result of fires. And there's a mathematical way that we're able to help determine that. And what we're finding is, in order for us to reach this most efficient level, it tends to be adding additional crew people to the fire engines that we run at the local level. And that's really what this is aimed at.
Madam Chair.
Representative Hayden.
It's got nothing to do with the budget, but when did the term wildlands become a term of art?
Probably in the last 6 to 7 years. And I think the reason Representative Hayden was it evolved somewhat nationally, but also within Oregon. When fires start, the capability to suppress those tended to rest with the forestry agencies, either the U.S. Forest Service or the Bureau of Land Management or the State Forestry Department in whatever respective state. And they were frequently called upon to not only fight forest fires, as traditionally we have done, but also some of the open rangelands or unprotected lands like you have in eastern Oregon. And so in order to find a terminology that, you know, wasn't forested, but it was really unprotected, or lands that needed some sort of fire protection, the term wildlands was kind of coined to try to connotate it's both forest as well as non-forest lands that aren't otherwise protected that you're providing some service to.
Representative Hayden?
When I spent a couple of years working for the Forest Service in college, I think we had forest fires, we had brush, and we had grass. I never heard that term until my aide this session told me he was going to leave here and go do wildland firefighting. Okay. What's that?
That's a term that's been coined in recent years.
Thank you.
That would be the area around
Eugene. Representative Hanson, did you have
one? Well, yeah. On this issue of using, getting the maximum use of federal funds, particularly in terms of replacing general funds, and this doesn't apply just to the forestry budget, but all the budgets will be seen. One of the areas I have just incredible confidence in is our staff's ability to analyze these in terms of getting the maximum, I hate to attempt to, fungibility, but that's one of the areas that I've got a lot of confidence that I know they've done a great deal of scrutiny in terms of getting the maximum flexibility out of both the federal funds, the other funds, and the lottery funds. So this may be a common theme through all of the budgets we'll be dealing with for the next week or so, but Sure looked to me like they were leaving no stone unturned to be able to use federal funds to replace general funds if it was appropriate.
The other consideration that was, I think, very high on everybody's list for the Department of Forestry's budget was getting as ready as we could get for what we're anticipating is going to be kind of a hummer of a fire season this year. So we're trying to pull all the resources together to deal with that we can. Representative Hayden.
Well, Madam Chair, my thoughts on this are sort of a process in progress. I used to think that if you had an agency had money left over at the end of the session, they should put it all back in. But I've evolved away from that. I think that an agency can actually plan and spend and budget the money better without haste and without waste if they're allowed to carry it over. I think maybe there should be some rewards and incentives for doing that prudently if they can actually save money. Maybe we should just buy some sort of a benefit plan.
That's an excellent point.
Encourages that.
Representative Lowe.
To expound upon this notion of carry forward and the facts that good Representative Hansen sprouted. I'm wondering, as we look for ways to find maximum efficiencies for the use of these federal funds, I'm hoping that we're thinking across agency lines as well, because if you are having some couple million bucks for training purposes and that sort of thing, I'm wondering if the Department of Corrections could use that those funds to help train incarcerated persons who are eligible to serve in the forests and to serve in that capacity. So do you have dialogue with that department to maximize the use of these funds across agency boundaries?
Madam Chair, Representative Lowe, kind of the short answer is yes. The longer answer is that, again, the specific monies that we're talking about in D are flowing to us out of two specific federal programs, one called Rural Fire Assistance Program. And what's the name of the other one? Volunteer Fire Assistance. And again, those, because of the statutory program, the federal statutory program they come to, basically flow directly to these rural fire departments. Now, where the cooperation comes in is that both the Forest Service, the Bureau of Land Management, the Bureau of Indian Affairs, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and the National Park Service, us and the state of Washington have all collaborated on where can we put these monies to be the most effective, and in our case within the state of Oregon. And in some cases this money is not only coming out of U.S. Forest Service, which is our traditional pathway for federal monies, but also some through the Bureau of Land Management, because they recognize that we already have a relationship with these local fire departments. So within that process, we also collaborate with the Fire Marshal's Office and the Office of Emergency Management here in the state. We've also have strong working relationships with the National Guard and additionally with corrections. We have about 130 to 140 made inmate camp between Tillamook and Forest Grove on State Forest, and about 120 of those people are made available to us for wildland fire control, for forest fire control. And we do train those people and use them both in a support position that is running our kitchens, but also on the fire line as well. So we've had ongoing, and then additionally, we have done training for the people at Shutter Creek, which I believe is what that's in the Coos Bay, and then the Powder River facility as well. So we do use those folks and do train them in advance so that, we're able then to call them out. Your suggestion's right online. I mean, it's been a good effort and a good results for us.
If I may follow up, I know that those 120 beds at the something Fork, what is the?
South Fork.
South Fork. That's an extremely successful program in corrections and also for your purposes as well. I'm wondering if some of the resources that might be available could be used to expand that. I do know that there's 126 people on the waiting list to get in. Those people who are, there's more people eligible and qualified to receive that training than you have bed space for. And largely because we've grown our prison population so dramatically due to the one strike and you're out ballot measure 11 thing. So I'm hopeful that you might be willing or able to expand that program.
The program at South Fork.
People earn their keep if they're willing to.
The program at South Fork is more limited by, if you will, the day-to-day work we have during the non-fire season, because they are the ones that do our tree planting, pre-commercial thinning, some of that other work. And we're pretty much at capacity in terms of the amount of work we have and the number of folks that we could employ in that realm. In terms of the fire season, that's pretty much cyclical. I mean, we're expecting a pretty bad year. Other years you have fairly easy seasons. I think if there was a way to identify folks that could be trained, irrespective of where they're housed, and make them available, that's something we certainly could do. Now, as to where you locate them and then in turn make use of them during the rest of the year, I think that for us that's more problematic if within the larger of state government and how we employ those through other agencies such as parks. I think there are some really good opportunities, from the state as a whole in that particular arena, of which we then could, capitalize on during our emergency situations.
Sure, encourage you to do that. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Please proceed, Mr. Rocco.
Madam Chair, then items I and J on page 2 of the memo are in response to what you brought up about the fire severity issue. The first of these is an adjustment, co-chair adjustment package 006, which provides a special purpose appropriation to the emergency board in the amount of $800,000 general funds for rapid response to emergency fire situations. And there's language there for a budget note that describes why this is being established and sort of an unusual mechanism where, because of the timing of emergency boards, we do not want to hamper the agency's ability to use these funds, so we're giving them authority to spend or commit the money in advance of asking the emergency board, as long as they get concurrence with the Department of Administrative Services to do so. And that would happen with the expectation that the next emergency board meeting they would come forward with a report and ask for those funds to be released to them. This is similar to situations that we've tried to accommodate in the past with in severe fire situations. And then item J, and this does not appear as a item in the spreadsheet because it'll be a special purpose appropriation to the emergency board, and it'll appear in the budget report, but not as part of the agency's immediate budget. Item J is another budget note that talks about a recommended budget note that talks about other aspects of the emergency situation that we're interested in having the Department and Budget Management Division of DAS and Legislative Fiscal Office work together to try to clarify some of the issues about the funding for the Protection from Fire program in order to look at how that program gets funded during the budget development process, because there are certain situations in there where they have positions that are recurring seasonal positions, but by their nature are always funded at step two even though people come back at higher steps on a regular basis. And so in the budget development process, in some cases this program gets, you could say, underfunded. So we want to look at that process and recommend including this budget note to give us that direction to do so. Item K, which is a co-chair adjustment to maintain the fire program's S&S at CSL, would add back $170,446 of general fund and $372,220 of other funds. Basically, this reverses the earlier LFO recommended reduction in package 002. The agency feels that that reduction is a restoring that reduction is a priority, and I think this simply indicates that legislative fiscal is sometimes independent from co-chair direction, and so we recommended a reduction. The co-chairs have authorized a restoration of that. So, a little technical issue. Item L is that is the last of item K is the last of the budget changes to the budget. Item L is a recommendation for a supplemental other funds limitation increase of $7.2 million, and this is for monies the agency has received and will. And needs the additional limitation from last fire season. And this is just to make sure they have enough limitation in their books to cover the actual expenditures. There's no additional resources involved here. This is just money that they received as reimbursements for activities that they took during the last, during the 2000 and 2001 fire seasons. Item M is a budget note that the department has proposed discussing going to obtain a federal grant funding due to the new federal program that Mr. Brown was talking about that's available now due to fire severity. And the agency wanted to include this budget note to bring it to the front of the discussions. Legislative Fiscal does not believe this note is necessary, but has no objections to including it. The agency always has the ability to ask for federal grant authorization and expenditure limitation from the emergency board, so we don't feel this note is necessary, but that's up to the committee to decide whether they want to include it. And I think the department could address why they think it should be included, if you'd like to hear that.
Mr. Brown, could you come forward and give us that information?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Jim Brown, the state forester. The reason we had proposed this is, several months from now, when if we came forward to the emergency board with a request, we have found it useful to be able to reference back to a conversation that occurred in this committee as to why we're then there in front of the emergency board. That is to say, you had, as you were going through our budget process, you recognized that there would or potentially could be additional federal funds available to help this program, and felt it was important that the agency pursue those, and recognizing that we do need to come back for the authorization to accept those monies in the limitation. So from our, it's not a big deal. I mean, if you choose not to include it, that's okay with us. I think the important piece for us is the conversation and, if you will, the reference point, so that when we come back to the emergency board, or if we come back to the emergency board, there's some, if you will, some reference discussion that has occurred.
Am I correct then in assuming that having had this conversation in the subcommittee and noting that the subcommittee is very interested in easing the department's access to firefighting money, that would suffice and it wouldn't be necessary to put this in?
That's correct.
Thank you.
You want me to stay here or you want me to step back?
That's a good thing. Madam Chair, that discussion could be reflected in the budget report. It doesn't necessarily have to be a budget note, but it can be reflected in the budget report that this discussion was held and that the agency is encouraged to do this activity.
Okay.
Finally, for the Protection from Fire program, in item N is another budget note. This has been proposed by both LFO and the department to direct the department. Department of Administrative Services and the LFO to look into the funding, the expenditures and reserve base of the Oregon Forest Land Protection Fund. This is the fund that is used for emergency firefighting through the Emergency Fire Cost Committee. Right now, that fund has certain caps on it, and we believe those caps should be reviewed given the increasing fire danger the state has been facing and the fact that those caps haven't been changed in a number of years. So we're recommending including this budget note to allow us to study the possibility of changing those caps. And Madam Chair, that is the Protection from Fire program recommendations.
Are there any discussion or comments or objections to what's in the Protection from Fire section of the budget?
Madam Chair,
Representative Lowe.
I would sure appreciate it noted in the record or maybe even a budget note that if they have additional capacity for training, that they make sure that they work across agency lines and especially encourage them to work with the Department of Corrections, because I know that there are many qualified incarcerated individuals who are now eligible to work for the state because of how ballot measure 11 is structured, who really would love to be involved in this program, and there's not enough bed space or capacity for them. And I would really encourage, especially for, you know, we've got people ready, willing, and able to work and to be trained, and if we're facing a severe shortage, there's a good resource to use people who want to pay back society for the wrongs that they've done.
Representative Lowe, the chair would be pleased to have that included as a note in the budget report.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, could I clarify, would you like a budget note or do you just want that reflected in the narrative of the budget report?
There is a slight... In the narrative of the budget report, okay. I think would be sufficient for this.
Madam Chair, we'd be happy to commit to having that conversation with corrections.
I appreciate that so much. Thank you.
Madam Chair, then, you want to move to the State Forest Management Program. That is on page 9 of the spreadsheet. It starts and on page 4 of memo number 2. The first change to the governor's recommended budget is the PERS employer rate reduction of $48,906 other funds in item A. Item B is an adjustment to essential package 030 and these are again the Secretary of State audit. Assessment change, the Department of Administrative Services, Human Resources Services Division, Telecommunications, and AG, and that amounts to $43,922. Package 331 on page 10 of the spreadsheet is a package that would add two positions to for watershed health assessments on state forest lands. In this package, LFO is recommending approval with a technical adjustment to reduce the package by one position and 0.23 FTE. That would still leave the establishment of two NRS2 positions in the package. And there is a slight reduction due to the PERS of $1,498. And the net effect of that is 2.05 FTE, and that's part of this technical correction that was made. Item D is LFO Adjustment Package 8, which would eliminate Package 332 from the agency's budget. This is a, it was a revenue package only, and it would, it was, it included $2.3 million of revenue to the agency that, that if House Bill 2164 passes, that interest would not begin to be collected by into the Forest Development Fund until the 0305 biennium. So this package is no longer needed in the budget. So we're recommending eliminating that package.
Representative Nolan looks like she needs to ask a question here.
Chair is so observant. Thank you. What should one surmise from what Mr. Rocco just said about the prospects of House Bill 64?
Madam Chair, Representative Nolan, this particular package elimination has doesn't matter. It should be done regardless of the passage of House Bill 2164, because even if 2164 does pass, the revenue effect would not occur until the 0305 biennium. So this is a technical kind of change to the agency's budget that I think they even brought forward as an adjustment to their budget. But I'm not...
We have an updated report on the whereabouts of House Bill 2164.
Well, we have 5 minutes to go before Full Ways and Means, and I'd be glad to talk to you about it. But let's press ahead and try to get as far as we can before we have to recess for the Ways and Means meeting.
Madam Chair, then item E on page 4 is Adjustment Package 9. This is really tied back to the Division of State and Lands budget, where efforts were being made to retain money in the Common School Fund. This is a 3% reduction of expenditures in the Common School Fund portion of the State Forest Management program, which would retain $279,614 in the Common School Fund. And it would, that's out of what the agency would do for those, the management of those lands, and there's no position effect. It would just primarily just slow down the activity for state forest land management.
Madam Chair?
Senator Jenks has a question.
Let me give you the caveat that it's entirely possible that I have this confused with something else. But I think this is the one that would provide some funds for state forestry to continue the work, try to work out some of the problems between the more recreationally inclined who want to use the state forest and the local people who are more inclined to treat those trees like a crop of corn and cut them down. And there's been this conflict building, and there's been a committee to try to set up a plan and to try to manage it. The plan's there, but the issue is long from dead. Is this the right package?
No.
Okay, I quit. No. Never mind.
No, well, that's coming up. We're talking. Weren't you talking?
Will you keep some interest from that on the
D was
on the monies?
Yeah, D. Well, really, D and G are hooked together in the way that you discussed, Senator Dukes.
Okay. Well, wherever they are here, that is a really potentially explosive situation, and people have managed to keep it from exploding for a few years now. But it's reaching its point, and the sides are hiring lobbyists and forming councils and hiring professional folks to come in and manage their side. And it's not a lot of money, but their budget doesn't give them any place else to take it from. And this will allow them to go in and try to do some reasonable recreational things that would hopefully keep this whole thing from boiling over. It's in my district, is why I worry a lot. There's just this huge difference between what the people in the valley think you ought to be able to do with those trees and what the people on the coast think you ought to be able to do with those trees. And I believe there's common ground, and reasonable minds will do that, but the agency doesn't have money to be able to do that with. Their money is all pretty well categorized and marked for management of the forest and the trees or this or that, and this money is interest money, so it would allow them to do some other things.
Madam Chair, Senator Dukes, I believe that's the...
Way off on the other page?
No, you're not way off at all. I think that is the discussion that would have to be had with House Bill 2164, which in item D, it is an adjustment to that, because the revenue, if that bill passes, it would start in 0305, and approximately $2.3 million would be provided to the agency on a biennial basis, but it would be a... Right now, that money goes into the general fund. So this would be a general fund reduction.
Oh, I thought the money you were looking for went into the common school fund. No? Okay. All right. I knew what I was talking about on half of it. Does that count?
Madam Chair, item F on page 4 then is LFO adjustment package for reducing out-of-state travel by 1%, and that amounts to $510 other funds. And item G is there are two budget notes in this section that we could probably get through rather at this time. Item G is discussing some of the issues that Senator Dukes just raised about recreation and working on the recreation planning and how that fits in with managing the forest for other uses.
A state forest's recreation accomplishment monitoring framework.
That's correct, Madam Chair, Senator
Catchy.
Dukes.
What?
Catchy.
Yeah. What the heck is the acronym?
And this budget there note has been suggested by Representative Ringo, and I think the department has had some discussions. We've had discussions on this budget, and I think they're prepared to suggest a change to it in the last sentence, if you're willing to.
Mr. Brown, if you could present that information to us.
Let the record reflect that Representative Krupp has entered with his favorite fireman's tie.
Jeez, I walk in the room, I haven't said a word, and this is the kind of reaction I get.
Thank you. That's some talk.
Oh, you too. Oh, you got tiny.
Digger.
At the Bluff 3 Day.
We won't talk about your time.
That is some time. Let's take a look at that.
Yeah. Of course, got the Dalmatian by the fire hydrant.
Well, you should take this little gizmo off and put it up on top.
Actually, it's not a bad idea, but it wouldn't be very practical, very functional.
Oh, gosh.
He's got a hooker on his tongue.
So what we're going to try to do is...
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Thank you for clarifying that, Senator.
They're not histories. This is my history.
Mr. Brown, could you present the amendment to the budget now, please?
Madam Chair, we had... several discussions with Representative Ringo about his interest in this budget note. I think his interest was to see that we made continuing investments in recreational activities on the Tillamook and in the Clatsop State Forest. As we read the budget note, I began to become concerned about the last sentence that's in the budget note as it's presented in Mr. Rocco's report. And as Senator Dukes pointed out, there has been an increased level of conversation about, if you will, the purpose of state forests. And the board went through a very lengthy 2-year public debate to define a statutory term called greatest permanent value, which laid out, if you will, the purpose of state forests. And it, we talked about that during the earlier hearings, but it's really to recognize that these forests are to provide an array of social, economic, and environmental benefits, and that it's an and construction, not an either-or construction. and our forest management plans, as we discussed with you, reflect that. My concern with the last sentence as it's written is down the road, not today, but down the road, people could go back and read that sentence as trying to reopen that debate. So I'm offering to you a change in the last sentence that reflects our commitment to implementing these plans over the next 10 years in a context of a broad investment policy, but that's guided by this notion of greatest permanent value. That's both a statutory term as well as an administrative rule definition. And from my perspective, I think that's important in order to provide some sideboards and context within which we make our investments. So that, if you will, this budget note is not read as a way to override both the statutory as well as the administrative rule context.
I understand. Representative Nolan, could you comment?
Thank you. Actually, I have a question. Give me a specific example of what you would do differently under the language that Representative Ringo proposed as compared with the language you've proposed. How would this change?
I don't think it changes how we would do business today. I'm more concerned about, I mean, people, after these things kind of get in place, start reading tea leaves and trying to drive conversations in ways that are of their interest. And what I'm trying to do is make it clear through this budget note that there is a statutory framework for us to make our investment decisions, and there's an administrative rule framework that supports that, and that will continue, as we have in the past, to make those investments within that framework. That's all I'm trying to clarify. So in terms of the money that we have on the table today, we would continue, I think we're investing, what, $1.5 million or $2 million a year in recreation. We would continue to do that.
Did you have a follow-up?
I do, Madam Chair, thank you. What I heard you say is the two alternative sentences would not operate differently whether you're operating under option A or option B. So I frankly find it hard to understand why we would go to the effort of changing it. If we want to change the language, I presume we want to change it because we want to do things differently than what was proposed. And if we're not, why pick a fight?
Mr. Brown.
Madam Chair. Representative Dolan, I think my interest is to manage the expectations of some of the public of, you know, where are we going to invest our money? I mean, I could interpret that last sentence as attempting to change. I don't think this is Representative Ringo's intent, but some people could read that as intending to change the investment strategy that the board and the department currently have under the greatest permanent value rule. And I thought we ought to just clarify that, you know, the statute and the administrative rule guide the investment decisions, as opposed to introducing a new term, a balanced investment strategy.
Madam Chairman.
I want to make sure Representative Nolan is finished.
Still not satisfied substance of the answer.
Senator Dukes, you were next.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess you have to live with this stuff to better understand it, and I suspect Representative Krieger does as well. Sides have been trying to gain sort of a leg up for about the last 10 years. And there's a lot of money here that we're talking about in yield from state forest lands, particularly the Tillamook Burners that comes online. You've got mills that have moved just outside that forest expecting to get the timber. People invested in mills and revamped those mills about 10 years ago waiting for it, and it's starting to come. And the argument is, do we harvest the trees or don't we? That's the bottom line argument. I can remember Revenue Committee quite a while back. I can't tell you, and Jim's been in every one of these things that I've been in, where I've tried to explain to people where the lands came from, that they are tied up in trust deeds. And I had one member of this assembly say to me last session, I don't care about the trust deeds, let the lawyers fight that out. And I don't care what the legal part of it is. There was never there's always been recreation on these lands. There's always been hunting and fishing and bicycles and motorbikes and ATVs, and right in the middle of the Tillamook there are campgrounds. And somehow that's not enough. I don't know exactly what enough is, but that's not enough. Now the money that comes off of the harvest of the trees, the top first 25% goes to Jim's office for the management of the forest. And we're getting down to the heart of what the heck does that mean? It has always meant to make sure that we replanted the trees, that we thinned, that we took care of any disease that was in there, that we did roads if we needed to do that so they could be harvested, because clearly the trust deeds indicate that those trees were planted for the monetary benefit of the districts in which they reside. And my counties and my cities, my fire district bought a fire truck off of one of those sales, and they couldn't have bought that fire truck without it. That's the level of importance it carries. And so suddenly we have, and Charlie and I disagree seriously what the use of those forests ought to be. Suddenly we have a group that said, these are state lands. They belong to us, the people of the state of Oregon, and we ought to let them grow, and we ought to be able to go visit them. Excuse me, they are a single-age monoculture with Swiss needle cast, and if we don't manage them, we're going to lose them. Forgive me. They're nice forests. And all this is trying to do is tip the scales a little bit more in the favor of spending less time managing plans to harvest the timber and more time in the plan in the direction of planning more campgrounds and more recreational opportunities. Forestry and all of the folks have set down there is a plan. We don't need to tell them to implement the plan. They're going to. It's there. It's a plan. It's been adopted by the board. And I will oppose this. I will oppose either form of it. Certainly your agreement is better, but I got to go back to those folks whose districts get the money out of this, and I got to tell them why I voted for a budget note that's going to indicate that the people from the valley ought to be able to come and spend more time, and their loggers ought to be able to cut fewer trees, and that's where this is going to go.
Representative Krieger.
Madam Chair, this goes back, as Mr. Brown has talked about, the purpose of the lands rule and the greatest permanent value that we struggled with for a couple of years. And I think when we finally got done, I had suspicions at the time that we may have gone too far trying to find the balance between environmentalism and harvest of those grounds. And I was looking at the county trust relationship and what that ground was originally given to the state to do. That is the foundation. And then if you go further, look at the Crabtree case and what the state wanted to do, or some people wanted the state to do, and they were told that you cannot take this land and set it aside as a reserve. It's got to be a working forest. Now, we went to structure-based management under, that's where they're going with an HCP, to try to address every value that you can think of, clean air, clean water, the Endangered Species Act. We had committees, we had meetings, we had numerous tours on that land. I don't want to see us go what I'm seeing here. I agree with Senator Dukes 100%. There's an agency that's charged with doing this. There's a board that's charged with doing this. There's a public input process. I would be concerned that if we did, in fact, have another 60 parks and you took a certain amount of land out of production, that you'd be in violation of the trust agreement. And the counties will go to court and they'll win. I think Crabtree tells me that. So here again, I think that the board, I think Jim Brown and his staff has struck a balance that is very good. They've tried to work with the governor's staff. Not everybody got everything they wanted either way when this thing was being developed. But I have the greatest of confidence that as this plan moves forward, that all of those values that that forest is there for, including recreation and the investment that needs to be made, will be made in the forest for the benefit of people of Oregon and the forest itself.
Senator Ferrioli.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I have a high regard for a number of things that find a connection to this bill and this amendment. First of all, I think it's entirely appropriate for Representative Rango to bring this amendment in that he represents a perspective and a constituency. We all do. The fact of the matter is bringing the amendment gives us an opportunity to discuss the issues. I have very high regard for the Board of Forestry. Remind everybody that people don't wake up one morning as a member of the Board of Forestry. They go through a very rigorous process of appointment, and they're appointed by the governor. And the appointments are vetted and thought about and talked about throughout the state of Oregon, probably as much or more than any other appointments that get made. The Board of Forestry is a creature, particularly of Oregon's intelligence. In 1946, in 1947, when we looked at creating a mechanism for forest management in Oregon, there wasn't forestry as we know it today. Oregon had the first Forest Practices Act in the nation. It has, in fact, been ahead of the curve for forest practices since the 40s. You know, many of the principles that we see in world forestry today have found their first expression in Oregon. This is a tradition of involvement, of personal commitment, of balance, of a public process that you don't find in other agencies in the state. I wish we did. I look at the contrast between the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife and the Oregon Department of Forestry as being probably the most informative juxtaposition that we have in Oregon state government. These two agencies are structured in the same way, but they function, well, one of them functions, and the other one doesn't. And so it's not the model, it's the integrity of the process. Even though I completely appreciate and applaud the fact that this amendment was brought, I will oppose it. I'll join Senator Dukes in opposing it because I don't believe that the Board of Forestry process needs any tinkering by the legislature. This is one that really, really works well. And it has moved consistently ahead of the curve, both in the public change in its perception of what forests are supposed to produce. At one point, it was commodities. Now, it's certainly a lot more than that. And the Board of Forestry has reflected that change very, very well. In terms of micromanagement, in terms of preordaining outcomes, I think that would be a tragic mistake for Oregon. I really believe that the Board of Forestry deserves our support. I don't think there's any need for this budget now. The issue of recreational use and preservation of a portion of the Tillamook and other state forests and the ability of the Board of Forestry to be responsive with adaptive management strategies are probably the most precious things that we have in this process. I wouldn't want to tinker with those things. So, you know, at least as far as the two Senate members are concerned, I concur with Senator Dukes. Not because of the commodity values, because the Lord knows I represent the forest products industry in my real life. I work for Malheur Timber Operators. Won't be any timber in John Day coming off the Tillamook State Forest. I guarantee it. But that is not the issue. The issue is whether or not the state will continue to be a model of forest management that looks at the whole panoply of issues and concludes in a public process what those management options ought to be and how the Board of Forestry and how the Department of Forestry ought to continue along a 50-year tradition of management. And the other thing I have high regard for, person I have high regard for, is my Senate colleague who's, I think, dead right on this issue as she has been on many others. Her in her opposition to this budget.
The chair just wishes to clarify, Senator Ferrioli, do you have objections both to the amendment and the original budget note?
I am aware. Madam Chairman, I appreciate the clarification.
Thank you very much. Representative Crum.
No, Madam Chair. Representative Lowe was in the queue before me.
Did you wish to speak, Representative?
I will defer to the good Representative Crum.
Not yet, but perhaps.
Go forward and sin no more, at least not as so far as those ties go.
You've got to quit quoting scripture.
I'm sorry.
You're starting to give me a complex.
I guess so.
Jim, I had the pleasure Saturday of flying out to Seaside, and my route of flight from my farm to Seaside is right over the bulk of the state forest lands. And I'll have to tell you that as I was flying along and observing the structure of how that's been managed in the different growth rates of and how it's been logged and is being logged, and then seeing some of the campgrounds, it really struck me.
Sure.
What struck me in the thought that came into my mind was how well managed this forest really is. And I just have to compliment you and your entire organization and your staff in, I think, fulfilling the mandate that's been mandated to us to not only preserve those lands, but truly to manage them for what I think truly is the highest use, and that is a balance between producing timber from it, which benefits this state, and also providing those recreational opportunities. I frankly am quite confident that the direction you're going, based on this two-year management plan that so many people put so much time in, and really has something in it for everyone, that the investments that you're making over the next few years as a matter of policy in recreation in this forest are new opportunities, and I think they're very appropriate, and I like the direction that you're going. Madam Chair, I will oppose the budget note because I really feel it's unnecessary. I think the process that has occurred has been very thoughtful, very deliberate, and I think it is proper. I think it's a good balance, and I very much approve of that, and I just would oppose the budget note in any form.
Thank you. Representative Lowe.
Thank you. I've noticed that our ideas about good forest management and good environmental responsibility has evolved since I went to Oregon State and walked around in McDonald Forest and learned something about that. But one of the things that I'm interested in seeing happen is that as this forest is managed over time, that we move away from the monoculture, because it is pressing and posing a hazard to the rest of the state's forest, and that's a bad idea, but it was a good idea at the time those trees were planted, but we're learning more. The other thing about it is not only is our knowledge of forestry evolving, but our ability to come up with management ideas in the state on this side of the dais is evolving as well. And I noticed that we did pass out of this body a statute that will allow banking of carbon credits and that sort of thing. And I'm wondering if it is possible for groups such as the Sierra Club or some of the mills that are surrounding the Tillamook Forest area are cognizant that they can preserve the forest and under that statutory scheme too. That's one way to mitigate the destruction of large tracts of the forest.
Madam Chair, Representative Lowe, we recognize that, you know, when the forest was planted or aerial seeded from the early 1950s up through 1975-73, you know, kind of the conventional wisdom of the time was that Douglas fir is what we ought to be using, and we, you know, have since learned, as you pointed out, that there's some problems associated with that. We need to use a more diverse species mix, and we are doing that. I think the Swiss needle cast disease that's been mentioned here a couple of times is a reflection of that, of putting Douglas fir into the coastal strip where you would have been more appropriately to have used some other species. So we're doing that. But structure is not only species, it's age classes. I mean, you have a very, very even because of the reforestation effort following the fires, you have a very even-aged forest. And we recognize that in order to provide the diversity of values that the public wants, both economic as well as environmental, that we need to, through management, alter that age structure so that you have this diversity. We also recognize that public values, as we become a more affluent society, want a broader array of benefits from this forest. And the greatest permanent value rule that the board adopted reflects that, and the new forest management plan that Representative Krieger mentioned reflects that as well. I think the in terms of the interest groups, we had a very open public involvement process, both as it related to the forest management plan, but also the recreational plans that we have used. We find we get a lot of good ideas out of the public. Not always agreement on how we ought to proceed, but I would say the term is substantially effective agreement on the path or on the course of action. And I think the board did achieve that when they adopted the forest management plans in January. Now, that's not to say that people aren't going to continue to debate these issues. I think they will. And I think it's important that we listen to those and that as we move through time, we not only honor, as Senator Dukes and Senator Ferrioli mentioned, the commitment that was made to the counties when they deeded the lands to the state for us to manage on their behalf, but also we have to do that in a way that the public, the general public, is satisfied as well. I mean, it's a balancing act. It's an and construction as opposed to an either or. So much of the conversations around forestry and natural resources has dropped to an either or conversation, and we have tried very hard to make it an and conversation.
Further comments on the budget note? Mr. Rocco, would you proceed?
Madam Chair, there's one final budget note for this program, State Forest Management Program, which is item H. This is something that the department was intending to do anyways, and the budget note just gives them some guidance to work with training forest inmate crew coordinators to make sure that the coordinators have adequate training in personal security, community safety, supervision of inmates, and the department's instructed here to report back to the emergency board in March of 2002. And Madam Chair, with that, that is the LFO recommendation for the State Forest Management Program, which is a total, if you look on page 10 of the spreadsheet, the total would be $56,634,281, other funds limitation for this program, and 255.83 FTE.
Thank you, Mr. Rocco. If we could get Senator Dukes back in here, we could conclude the discussion on this section of the budget. Committee, we have just concluded discussion on the state forest management section of the budget. Is there discussion on any of the parts of the budget or problems with any of the parts of the budget or the budget notes?
Madam Chair?
We've noted from both of the senators and from three of the members, and myself included, objection to including the budget note that addresses recreation. And Senator Dukes?
I would move adoption of all of the LFO recommendations except that budget note.
Is there a motion on the table to move for adoption of the LFO recommendations in this section of the budget with the exception of the budget note that deals with recreation? Is there discussion on the motion?
Madam Chair, I'd like the record to reflect that I'd prefer.
I can't hear you.
I'd like the record to reflect that I would prefer to leave the budget note in.
The Would the record reflect that? Are there objections to the motion? Without objection, the motion is carried.
May I ask a dumb question?
Yes.
On my request that there be cross-pollination between the forestry and the corrections and that you continue on in that vein towards increasing the number of participants in the South Fork facility, does that need an official motion or amendment or...
We could certainly go back and make a motion on that section
if you move, Madam Chair.
Or if you request it.
I request it.
We are now back in the protection from fire part of the budget. And Representative Krupp, I believe that you had a question in that
yes,
section.
Yes, I did, Madam.
Perhaps this would be a good time to address.
I apologize, Madam Chair, for not being here for the early part of the presentation. I just wanted to, Jim, ask you about item number L, supplemental funds, $7.2 million. It's on page 3. I'm assuming those are federal funds.
Madam Chair, Representative Krupp, what that is that those were expenditures largely for our management of federal land fires, Forest Service fires last summer, and they are reimbursing us for that.
Okay.
And so we needed the other fund limitation in order to accept that money and pay our bills.
And Madam Chair, and if I may, Jim.
Yes.
Assuming that we're going to have another difficult fire season, and it appears that we will just based on the current conditions. Do you have enough leeway in this other funds limitation to accept what may be next year an even larger dollar amount that you will need to receive from the federal government for that purpose?
Representative Krupp, I don't know how I don't think we know how to read that. I think our experience, that is our relationship with the legislature, has been, as particularly as it relates to this program, go get the job done. And as long as you're not talking about other fund appropriation, you know, the legislative body has said, come back to us and we'll give you the appropriate limitation. We carry additional limitation for this program, but when you get into this type of magnitude, we don't.
So, no, we do have some extra built in, but what is that for?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Clark Seeley with the Department of Forestry. We carry approximately $2.5 million of reserve in other fund limitation for large fire that would be reimbursed either from other agencies like the Forest Service or from the Oregon Forest Land Protection Fund. And that's as a general rule, biennium to biennium. Jim is certainly correct in that we don't try and forecast ahead for the coming biennium the severity in terms of magnitudes of dollars, but rather come back to you to get that limitation covered when it's fully reimbursed.
Historically, the posture of the legislature has been not to give agencies a lot of empty limitation, but rather for you to come back and seek that at the particular moment in time that you need that. And the reason this one is here is as we finished last summer, and actually we've had a pretty active spring,
yeah,
that's
already
when we identified this particular need. So this is really trying to close out the 9901
section. 9901, okay.
And as we got into this particular fire season or next fire season, if we needed additional limitation, we'd come back through the emergency board process.
Board and get that.
So that, you know, not only that, you have some scrutiny on what we're doing, but also we're not carrying a bunch of empty limitation.
Okay, Madam Chair, just one more quick question on this. Overall, have we increased the amount of money budget to you for fire suppression?
In this recommended package, yes, you have.
We have. I noticed the emergency response, 800,000 and so forth. What's the total number that we, I'd heard earlier on, we were talking about extra $5 million to the state for your total fire suppression for this coming year. Is that still?
In terms of an increase?
Yes.
It's on the order of about close to $2.5 or $3 million if you include the emergency board reservation.
The other point to bear in mind here, Representative Krupp, is that firefighting is one of the true emergencies that the emergency board deals with, and it would be very, very difficult to foresee a scenario where the emergency board would turn down a request from the department to deal with this.
If you recall, Representative Krupp, we have a, if you will, a multi-tiered system where our basic budget provides for the basic fire department. Then, as we get into emergency, that is large fire management, we have, the landowners have set up a $10 million sinking fund that becomes a deductible on a $35 million insurance
right,
policy.
Right.
So,
yeah.
You know, you've got this tiered mechanism, and where you have suggested to us that we can save money in the long term is if we take care of business while the fires are small, and that is the proposed $800,000 reservation that
rapid attack,
the rapid attack,
yeah.
In there.
If
so
I
I'm,
might, in the discussion, Representative Krupp, it would be an excellent idea for you to follow up with the director on this issue. But there are members that want
right.
to get to the floor, and we were wanting to.
I'm finished, Madam Chair. So.
Protection from fire section of the budget. And the chair would be open to taking a motion to accept the recommendations from LFO on protection from fire with the addition of the note of encouragement to work with the Department of Corrections that
Representative to increase the bed capacity at South Fork.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Is there discussion on the motion?
Great idea.
Objection to the motion? Without objection, the motion is passed. We will now recess our meeting and come back together again at 1:30 this afternoon.
Their budget note includes, and I hear her say increasing the capacity.